Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review Susan Balbo's Krios Cabernet from Argentina. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening. How are you now? How are you now, Wine Guy?
I'm okay. I am just fine. Because on tonight's show, Scott and I have just decided, screw this shit. Triple B's not on, unfortunately, but it's the second episode. But we said
that's not what you're really saying. You said unfortunately, and that sounds didn't mean it.
Well, no, I mean that emotionally. But I said, you know what? We're not going to drink some sort of I had story point out, and I said, no, we're not going to drink some damn torture ourselves with some nasty ass tasty California Cabernet. We're going to drink something that has a chance to be a good wine. So we are drinking an Argentinian Cabernet.
So instead, we're going to torture ourselves with an Argentinian Cabernet.
Well, hopefully, we're not torturing
We've
ourselves.
Done so well with those in the past.
We have. Well,
we've had a lot of bad Argentinian wines.
Name one. Name one bad Argentinian.
That whole first season of Argentinian wines.
What first season? Well, okay. Alamos.
The phrase
Trumpeter.
Green pepper comes
We've
to
had
mind.
Some bad ones. We didn't know about the good ones. But this is Susan Balbano, her Krios
Balbo,
is it Balbo?
B-A-O-B-O.
Should be Balbano, but it's a Balbo. Susanna Balbo, whatever. Who fucking cares? Her Krios Cabernet.
Freaking Balboni twins are going to get you, son.
This is from Mendoza. 100% Cabernet. And I think I need to put a new printer cartridge in. 9 months in 100% French oak. It is an interesting bottle of wine for $11.99. And Susan Balbo has a full line. She has very, very good wines. Some that are highly rated. This actually, Triple B's not on, so we can just say this, got a 90 from Robert Parker. You know?
And he's, you know. Even though he's gone from the reviewing process of the Advocate.
It's a no-frills review, and that's what you look for.
They're accurate. They don't overscore, and, you know, I'm not sure we're as aligned with them and our scores as we once were, but I still respect them greatly, even though he's been gone for more than a year now.
Well, yeah, he's off. Where is he at?
18 months?
He's in somewhere in Thailand, isn't he? I don't know where he is.
There's Cambodia. So many ways you can go with that.
I just said that. I am not in Thailand.
He's probably, if I was Robert Parker, where would I be? What? Somewhere in.
Robert is in Thailand.
Somewhere in Bordeaux or Burgundy.
This is James Suckley, and I wasn't aware. I did not see him. Where does he hang out? I want to know.
Not in the types of places you do, sir.
I'm in Tuscany, damn it. I'm a fancy man.
Of course.
Yes, he sure is. So, we're excited about this wine because we think it might be palatable, which is different for us. And the Triple B doesn't know we're doing this, so that's a good thing. She didn't even ask. Did you notice that? What are you drinking next? She didn't ask that.
Well, you started doing your Wilfred Wong, and she ran as fast as she could.
Whatever it takes, man.
With her little broken leg healing, limping.
Yes, it's kind of the hobble. Yeah,
it was terrible.
It's all just a show, anyway.
Yeah, we do a show, but her injuries were real. I don't know. Down in the bathroom and she broke her leg.
I didn't see those x-rays. So anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here with the Krios Cabernet here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So Scott currently is stalking Susan Balbo on her website. Scott, you didn't type in anything nefarious, right?
I don't know how to spell that word.
Good. So.
There's some interesting offerings. There's a, I'm assuming this is a, an indigenous to the region, Torontes, T-O-R-R-O-N-T-E-S. I'm not.
Why not?
Familiar with that varietal.
I don't know. But I will read Robert Parker's review. And also, the way he wrote this review must have been a mid-thought. This is the review, folks. I'm not skipping anything. His review. I was also impressed by the 2018 Krios Cabernet. He just went in mid-thought. Apparently, he was talking about something better. And then he switched to this, which was also very expressive with tons of peppery spices, perfumed, and with a floral touch. So I don't know what else was better.
And we just retired ourselves from having any inkling or linkage or saying we fuck that. That's
he was. I'm sure he was talking about Old Brion. He goes, has classical Cabernet tannins and a velvety mouthfeel and is precise, pure, and long. 90 plus. So, yeah, I'm sure he was talking about, you know, Screaming Eagle. And then he goes, and also, on the same, you know, at the same time, you know. Yeah, what am I going to say, you know? What the hell? A little odd. But then again, it is Robert Parker. Now, the tasting notes from the winery says dark reddish color. And the nose is elegant, earthy, and balanced with nicely integrated spices in the mouth. It has a great austerity and freshness with spices and herb aromas. The ripe, vibrant tannins give the wine an elegant structure and an amazingly long finish. And they recommend grilled and roasted meats. So that's exciting. And also chili. In the glass, it actually is gorgeous.
It's a dark son of a bitch.
It's dark and it's beautiful and it's what you want Cabernet to look like. Very dark.
So one last comment about the Susanna Balbo website.
Mm.
Interesting looking website. Really well done. She uses different bottles for nearly every other type of wine.
Yeah, it is eclectic in that
regard. It's good. They're gorgeous in presentation, and she's got some things I want to try. She's got some blends that I want to try. There's a Brioso line that I would love to try. They have Turley like bottles, which makes me a little jealous.
Hmm.
But this is gorgeous in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
It is a dark son bitch.
On the nose.
This is not a nose of a $12 bottle of wine.
It is not. It's somewhat muted, but it does show a lot of good cassis and blackberry. With a bit of a perfumey floral elegant. Now, what is that? Dogwood or honeysuckle?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Fresh flowers.
Absolutely.
Let's just go with that. And that may be the predominant aroma.
Mm-hmm. Mostly. It's as floral of a Cabernet of around $12 as I've ever smelled. Beautiful nose, actually.
It's You think French?
I don't think French. I just think good.
But I'm not. Floral
gonna,
nose.
Man, I don't know, because that's a little prettier of a nose than a lot of the French Bordeaux you're gonna smell.
A little strawberry in there.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah.
I love that nose.
Beautiful nose.
You know what's not in there? Any sense of alcohol.
Mm-mm.
And this is like 14.5, so
mm-hmm.
I'm excited to drink this.
I know, it's cool.
Beautiful legs in the glass. This is just a gorgeous looking glass of wine.
It's a nice drink. Mm. Very dry.
It has an acceleration towards the finish.
It does. The crescendo, ooh, and then it goes further. It has length. But the front palate is very...
Minerality at the very end of the finish.
The front palate is very slightly lithy, which means it doesn't explode with this big, bright fruit on the front palate. Everything is back-loaded. The finish, and it's still going on as I'm talking, 30 seconds, 35,
it's
40
fantastic.
Seconds?
That's... This is one of the best finishing wines we've had in a long time.
Especially
particularly for the budget price.
Yeah. Ooh.
I'm going to say it right now. Tip of the fucking cap, Susanna Bob Bowles.
We're in trouble. T-R-R-W. How that goes. This is good. Mm. You'd sense on the tongue... A lovely, bright, dark fruit, blackberry sweetness that is not cloying in the least, but it's all fruit. And then that just weaves into so many beautiful things. The minerality on the mid palate, the slight elements of oak, and the lengthy finish is just spot on. And you know what this is? This is Cabernet, but it's so Argentinian in the way it goes about it. Because there is a slight austerity, but it's not oppressive. It's just enough there. It doesn't taste Californian in the least, but it does taste of whether or not you confuse it with French or South American, but it tastes more South American to me than anything. But it's so wonderful of a expression. Earlier on, we had a wine that we liked quite a bit. It was a Cabernet from North Coast called Skyside, and we enjoyed that very much.
This is better.
Yeah, this is a better wine. In all respects.
This is one of those wines that just does it for me. I love wines that give you a physical response. Mm-hmm. This wine has a ironic sort of dichotomy going on because it's compact in the way it's put together, but then it's got this long motherfucking finish. Mm-hmm. You know, it just transitions so quickly from the front palate to the mid to the finish, and it's so compact in doing that, but yet there's still a lot going on, and it's just shy of complex, but it's got a lot going on.
Well,
but then that finish is so expressive, so long, and it's I'm gonna say unique, because the way this wine finishes, it's just got a wash of minerality at the end.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh, here's some minerality for you, bye. Love this. Is this for everybody? It should be.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know why you wouldn't like this. It's just a bit unusual, the structure of it.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, if you've had South American wines, you know, you recognize the structure. The flavor profile is not all that unlike Santa Carolina. Santa Carolina, though, doesn't finish the same way.
And it's not as compact as this. No. That's what I mean by... It's unusual. And structurally, from the flavor profile, yes, but everything goes by so fast. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so quick.
Yeah.
But yet it's all there. This is also a wine that you can just drink, and you're going to know it's good.
Oh, yeah.
But you can also go slow, draw air over it, and pick it apart a little bit. And let's do that right now.
Well, this is, by the way...
What's the fruit? Let's pick out the fruit components.
Let me just say this before we do this. This is required reading for value-priced Cabernet drinking. This wine is. It's that good.
This is to value cabs as Apotagua is to Pinots. Shout out, Douglas.
Yeah.
Right? Wrong?
So that means you're going to give it an 89, probably.
Easy. Harsh. Tempestuous. And rash.
Well, blackberry. That's kind of an easy one. There's also cassis.
almost goes to Cherry. Almost. Maybe I want it to go to Cherry. It's all, it's like really, really ripe Washington Bing cherries, but is that blackberry?
See, it's blackberry. I'm not a big cherry guy in a lot of these wines.
Well, it shouldn't be in a cab. But
no, it shouldn't. Well, well.
Can it be? Why?
J. Lore's Hilltop used to be a black cherry bomb, but.
Do you know what I mean? It's
maybe this I just is all want blackberry and cassis, if you ask me. But and there's some elements of plum, slight, more along the lines of the texture, but not prune. There's no pruniness there. It stays fresh, so nothing stewy. It's all very clean in the way it's presented, which is nice. I appreciate that. I like clean fruit.
You know, there's an earthy spice there. You really have to think on that. It just and it flies by so fast, that mid palate. I was looking for that cherry, and it's almost, it hints of clove. Okay. Almost.
Well, there's elements of clove, but you remember at Brio, the Brio restaurant, you have that crappy cracker bread that has that seasoning on it.
Crappy, I love that shit.
Okay, but that zestiness, what is that? There's a Parmigiana element to it, naturally, but
it's a nuttiness. It's like it's a seed that is more like a nut. There was a seed in that bread.
There is sesame.
Well,
there's a sesame element to this wine, sesame oil slight.
Like, yeah, mm-hmm. Like black sesame oil.
Yeah.
Black sesame seed.
A slight nuttiness there. And that's kind of on the curl into the mid palate. So the fruit stops, and then the back end of it has a bit of a sesame element to it.
That's exactly what it is. It's black sesame. So from my Nepalese grocery, I get black sesame seeds. And they're distinct. There's a nuttiness about them that is... Mm-hmm. Distinct, and they're high in good oil, good fat. So
yeah.
For my keto diet, they're a wonderful thing to just add to anything. And so very good for you.
And then the herbaceousness in the mid palate that crescendos to the finish is burly and has structure and size to it. What is that? Well, there's rosemary, definitely, that's there. A bit of thyme.
It's a bit of thyme. It's too late to turn back now.
But there's also a little oregano there. It's kind of like a rosemary, thyme, and oregano blend. But it's a little more rosemary than anything. And it has strength in
parsley,
it.
Parsley, sage, rosemary, and oregano.
I don't get sage, but
it's a song.
I know. That's a terrible song, but
it's a great song.
Okay.
What do you have? You said this the other night. What do you have against Simon and Garfunkel? What the hell?
They're not. Yeah, they're not.
They've got some great songs. That's like saying you're against Earth, Wind, and Fire.
No, Earth, Wind, and Fire is cool. Simon and Garth Carfunkel, they're not Motorhead, man. They're just a couple. They're a couple pasty pansies. That's what they are. I mean, the only living boy in New York is very beautiful. They make some beautiful music. They do.
They did.
But it depresses me to listen to it, and it's not tough.
Well, it's not tough to depress you.
Sound of Silence is a beautiful song. But if I'm hanging out with my buddy and I look at him, it's like, you know what? We're gonna have a band.
They weren't exactly a band.
No, but
they were a duo.
Okay, but I would never come to that. I would want to make a righteous rock sound, and there's nothing righteous rockiness about anything that they ever did. They're not like they're not as bad as, you know, Creedence Clearwater Revival, but you know CCR, but all their derivative shit. But Fortunate One is decent, but. The rest of that stuff is bad. Well, traveling bands, rockish, but they probably were good live. You know, how were they live? They're probably good to watch live. Their music just doesn't translate well, you know.
I just prefer to take my Southern roots to the originals.
You don't go to who they are. You don't have Southern roots.
Clearance Creedwater Revival did. The band did.
And then he opened it. Well, the band. Don't say those two things. The band is
They had Southern roots.
Well, I know, but the band. Okay. No. You can't say those two things at the same time. You can't say Creedence, CCR,
and
the band.
Is why you're stuttering?
You can't compare those two. The band are gods. They made amazing music. I love the band. Wonderful music. Not my favorite artist, but they are amazing. I actually got to see Levon Helms perform several years ago at the LC in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And it was him with the band. And he was fantastic. And he was playing the drums but singing. And a massive, severe thunderstorm just exploded on the venue. And he's up there playing the drums. And we're talking like it flooded everything. And he just looks up and he's just playing along. And he just starts laughing his ass off. God rest his soul. He passed away, unfortunately. But he's just like, wow. And he's just loving life. And then we all had to leave because everybody's going to get killed. But remember, you know, you have like the basement in like that, the A&R music bar. Mm-hmm. The basement flooded and it had a foot and a half of water in the bar.
Wow.
Yeah. But it was that bad. Then we went out and it was Phil Lesh and friends. And it's like, no, this isn't the same. I'm not a big Grateful Dead fan at all. But
no.
And Phil Lesh and friends are bullshit. But not as bad as Rat Dog by Bob Weir, who sucks dick. But that's okay.
I know people would shoot you right now.
No, they can't. They're all high. They can't shoot me.
No. Here's the funny thing about most Dead fans. They're really not stoners.
I know they're
most
not.
Of them.
No, they're poshy people. It's one of those bands that, not that I don't appreciate them, because they have many great music.
Many
great music. It's not proper English. But when I was dropping off my car, waiting for Becky to rescue me.
$1,400 later.
They hadn't charged me yet, but still. At the Audi dealership, they played Casey Jones by Grateful Dead.
Okay.
And a bunch of songs just like that. I'm like, wow.
Well, they're all just like that.
Well, they are. Back when I played in a band with my friend Matt and Adam, not that we played anywhere, we just played in the basement, but we played Casey Jones, we did Scarlet Begonias, we did Bertha.
What did you do in the basement?
We jerked each other off in a basement. No, we played music in a basement. We had a band. And so we, not that we played for anybody else, but we played like we did Scarlet Begonias, which is a good song. I like Scarlet Begonias. Bertha, which is a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Casey Jones, which is a good song.
It's one of the more classic ones.
Yeah, they are. Scarlet Begonias is a beautiful song for those who don't know it. And Birth is a beautiful song. That was one of the earlier ones we did. But there are many that are bad. What the hell was that? Chinatown Shuffle sucks dick. It's terrible. They Love Each Other. It's not very good. There's so many songs that they also have that are bad.
Well, but when you get into the
Sugary
concert
is trash
style performance of their music.
I've seen those things.
It's all
it's just like
jam band and
yeah, it's you fall asleep after 5 seconds.
See,
because they're not,
that's the criticism.
But they're bad.
No.
There's jam band when you have some badass that can just rock the shit. You know what? If you said to Prince back when he was alive, hey Prince, why don't you rock out for like 10 minutes? Prince would rock out and you wouldn't fall asleep. You'd be like, man, that motherfucker's a bad motherfucker. Nobody ever said that. Otherwise, they're like, oh, Fish is like playing, like doodling on their guitar.
People do say that, and they're quite talented folks.
Well, it's not that they're not talented. They're famous for a reason, because they're great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you said to Prince, hey, just take that guitar and like occupy everybody's time for about 5 minutes, or Jimi Hendrix. Those motherfuckers,
yeah.
I mean, they're going to burn the house down. Fish is not burning nobody's house down. Unless they, like, their bong catches on fire. But Prince, that motherfucker could burn a fucking house down playing. And there's a difference, you know? That's okay. What the hell are we talking about? Oh, this wine. This wine's great. How the hell do we get in that? How do we get in these tangents? It's like you
go down rabbit holes. Hey, I make a comment and you ended up on the Grateful Dead.
How did I do
that? It's a rabbit hole.
I know. But Scarlet Begonias is a beautiful song. She wore scarlet begonias tucked into her curls. I knew right away she was not like other girls.
You know what we haven't talked about yet with this wine?
No, I don't know.
There's just a hint of acidity that is so balanced by the astringency. This is a really well done wine.
It's also...
it's fantastic.
If someone said, you know what? We need to make a wine for Robin Scott of the Wine Vault that perfectly suits them. Just like a ringer. That would be this. It would be the Krios. Susan Balbo's like, how do I set this up? Because I need to make it big.
But let's
be only way I can do that is by being beloved by the Wine Vault. You know, hey, some people have small dreams. So it's possible.
If this is what she aimed for, then that's a small dream. But let's be honest.
I have a plan of world domination. I'm going to supply my wine to the Wine Vault.
Who do we know
that
wouldn't not just like this, that wouldn't love this?
Who do we know that wouldn't like this?
That wouldn't love this.
That would hate it. Who do we know that wouldn't like it?
No, I'm saying they wouldn't absolutely love it. Somebody,
I understand your question.
Yeah, if they go, it's good. Man, that's really good. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying love it. My wife would love this. Your wife would love this.
Well, I know she would. Don't tell Becky because she'd be very angry.
She's
going to
be questioning our
it.
Integrity. Anytime, by the way, for the record, anytime we do a wine that gets high scores and she's not involved, she questions our integrity.
Well, I'd buy another bottle, but I'm broke, so I can't.
Sneak one in on that order for the 50th birthday party extravaganza.
I know. That's always like, ooh.
Maybe
next month.
Our girlfriend Leanne, who drinks a lot of red wine, she would fucking love this.
I haven't met many people that wouldn't like this. I mean,
no, I'm saying love.
But what wines would they normally drink that they'd say they create? Well, I mean, if they like Stella Rosa, they probably wouldn't like this.
Yeah, but who do we know that really drinks Stella Rosa? That doesn't appreciate good wines. Don't mention your sister would love this.
My sister would love this.
Yeah,
but she didn't drink Stella Rosa.
Well, fish eye.
No, she didn't drink fish eye. She was drinking Winking Owl.
Yeah, well.
Which is worse than fish eye, but you know, whatever.
Worse than Stella Rosa? Not in a way.
Stella Rosa isn't wine.
Yeah, it's a fake
wine. Well, it's wine, a wine cooler. It says wine type product.
Yeah.
I mean, it includes as an ingredient wine.
Yeah.
Like 4%. And the rest of it is urine and, you know.
No.
Yes.
Products.
It's some sort
it's
of
wine
product.
And wine.
It's
products.
Not natural.
No. Well, Target sells a lot of it.
I'm sure they sell a lot of things. You know,
in the middle of the pandemic, somebody snuck a billboard up in downtown Columbus of Stella Rosa.
You know, I got to tell you, if somebody gave me a $50 gift card to Target, I don't know how I would use it. It wouldn't be on me. What the hell would I buy there? What would you buy at Target for $50? Would you buy
laundry cleaning? Detergent?
Yeah, I'm saying that's what you buy.
Golf balls.
Because you can't say.
They have clothing lines. And they actually have fresh groceries.
I used to buy t-shirts from them.
They actually have fresh groceries. You can buy things there.
But would you want to? I guess you could buy wine.
I could buy my hippie tea there.
Awesome.
Kombucha. And they actually have decent. It's a decent little grocery section.
Not all of them have that, though. One Lancaster doesn't have that. They don't all.
It's Lancaster.
Well, I'm sorry. They don't all universally have a grocery. Ergo, you can't include that in my
jeans,
scenario.
Outdoor apparel, toys. I bought toys there.
You could buy shit like that.
Towels and home goods and home housewares.
Okay. You don't play with toys, probably, right?
I have 12 grandchildren.
Yes, but you're buying it for you. Something to buy for yourself, not for, you know.
Wait, they have Nerf guns, so that's something you could buy there.
I bought a shit ton at Meijer for $2.50. I'm stocked up on. I have virtually every Nerf gun that exists, so I don't have any space to store them.
Such a child.
Hey, man, it was wrong not to buy it. It was $5 for a $60 Nerf gun. How are you not going to buy that?
Just walk on by.
I couldn't do that.
Just like the song.
It would be wrong. It's like...
Just walk on by.
Say you saw this for $3. You can't pass up the Krios for $3.
Boop. That's a different thing.
Not to mention, though, that it's like the only bullets that you can use for it are specific for that gun. But I didn't care. It was $5. The batteries to run it cost more than the gun.
Good. You know, I won't beat a dead dog, but there's plenty of comments I could say about your damaged car.
I don't fucking care. You bought a fucking shitty Mini. Okay, don't talk.
Whatever, dude.
You have an old ass MDX front wheel drive, you bought a shitty Mini.
When we get to $1,400 for a thermostat.
Guess what? And it's still going to be a Mini. It's still going to be a fake.
They're great cars.
Nobody has ever said a Mini's a great car.
Only Mini owners have said that it's a great car.
There's like five of them, and they're all...
There's five of them.
Yes, they're about that. But nobody has ever accused them of that. But nevertheless, great cars. You just said a Mini was a great car.
Yeah, absolutely. God. Classic.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Dig it deeper in your three-cylinder. God. It's fine if you like it. That's about it.
Oh, you didn't. So the Mini we had previously with the turbo, when you drove that, you didn't say it had balls. Yeah, you did.
Oh, I rode in it once. I didn't drive it. Scott, that was a fun.
No, I let you drive it that night after beer club.
I must have been really drunk when I drove it. I don't remember it.
You,
Scott, I dared you to screw the tires,
and you screwed the tires.
You had luck with that car.
I made you do it a couple times because you couldn't do it because you weren't man enough. I said in second, do it.
Oh, yeah.
You chirped him.
You know, it's always appealing. There's many things, many Minis on Craigslist.
That was the night we coined the phrase meat sweats the next day.
Okay. But there's many, I don't remember doing that, but that's probably a bad thing. But many a Mini is listed on Craigslist for $5,000 with 102,000 miles on it. And they're all S's with five or six-speed manuals. And they're all appealing except for the fact that they cost $5,000, and you know what they need to actually run again? About $7,000 in repairs. That's the problem with Minis. And basically, you got out of it at the right time because they don't last after about 75,000 miles. Some of them need new engines at 50. This is not a joke. Look it up. It really is that bad. They are that badly made, partly because they are a BMW on a budget, and the BMWs already... are terrible. They are 50 times worse than anything.
You got a powertrain warranty to 100,000 miles, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, you got a warranty, but if you didn't get that...
No, it comes with it. The powertrain's... Ours...
It has to, because the thing will break down every damn day. Your engine is a variant of what's in the hybrid i8, which blows up all the time. They blow head gaskets left and right. Their cooling systems blow up. They like mine, where they have everything built in. You know, my job was $1,000 or $1,400 on yours. You have to take apart the front of the car and drop the engine. You have to remove the engine to do it.
For the thermostat.
Yes, because there's no room to work on them. These are facts. So it's about $3,000, which isn't a good thing. But then again, let's be frank. To replace a water pump on a Chevy Equinox, you know how much it costs? $1,000. Any more. I was talking to somebody recently. He goes, you know what? You could take anything at a dealer. If it's something that needs to be replaced, it got $1,000 in it. All of it costs $1,000 because these damn companies are putting shit in places it doesn't belong. That's kind of a fact.
It's kind of like the history of the...
They're making
white male in the United States putting things where it don't belong.
That's true. And they're making
How
cars.
How dare you, Como?
Well, they're making.
Keep your hands to your fucking self.
Did that seem like.
Did you see the pictures?
Yes, I did. Where he put his hands around the woman's neck. She's like, you're going to kill me? It's like, dude, what are you doing? I know that you're a perv. And you know what's also interesting? And you know, not that I need anything that suggests to me that all those ladies are telling the truth, but. They all look similar. All the women have a similar look to them.
I only saw the picture of Anna Rooch.
They all have a similar...
the wedding pictures. Jeez. And
if you don't have the control in your brain to say, I like to have banter, I'm sorry. You can have fun with people and have banter, but there's a difference. I mean, I have fun with people. I have banter. No one's ever accused me of anything like that because I would never, ever in my wildest years even think to do something like that. It's just like, it doesn't even enter my mind. You know why? Because that's wrong and it's bad. Is it illegal? No, but it's gross. But right there, that picture at the wedding, it's like, what are you fucking doing? Why are you putting your hands on anybody? Unless it's your mother and she wanted you to give her a hug. Why are you putting your hands on somebody you don't know? You don't put your hands on somebody you don't know. I don't give a shit if they said, put your hands on me. You don't put your hands on somebody you don't know. And you did.
Yeah, dickhead. Just because a woman wears and she had an open back dress on, it doesn't mean you have an invitation to touch that bare skin.
If she was naked, you don't have it. You don't touch people.
A dickhead.
You don't touch people if they said, hey, will you touch me? You really don't even do it then. There's never a reason why you should be touching people. I don't understand.
Do you have a phobia?
No,
touching?
I don't want to touch anybody.
If somebody said, please touch me. Do I feel hot?
Well, then they're okay. If you're taking their temperature.
Is my forehead, do I feel
hot? But
that's
a thermometer.
But sometimes people say, do I feel hot? Touch
but she
me.
Didn't. But she was wearing an open back dress at a wedding.
Yeah. She didn't know her. They had never met before.
Let me put my hands around you. You freaky bastard. Damn perv. I mean, what the hell else is there? There's no other word for that.
Rob.
Creeper.
Rob, have you ever been with an older man?
No. Not. And she's like, no. And there's a reason for that. Because they all look old. Like you. That's just banter. That's banter?
There should be consequences for his behavior.
That sounds like a question. That's disgusting. Jesus Christ. I'm the governor, so no one can do anything to me. Fuck you.
Speaking of disgusting, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
He just threw a piece of slime in his mouth.
Had to.
This wine.
Back to this wine. And we will get back to this wine, but first we have to take a break. Because we have to pay our sponsor. No, anyway. We have to,
pay the bills? No.
No.
Pay our sponsors.
That's what credit cards are for. So, folks, we're going to take a break, nevertheless.
That's what Venmo's for.
I know. And be right back here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, I'm going to ask Scott a very easy question. Quick question. What is one thing you always want from a wine? One thing, just one.
Could you give me some more context to your question?
No.
It is an easy question. But there's plenty of answers. You know, we do a show about budget and entry-priced wines. Mm-hmm. So when we're doing those wines, we want value. Oh. You know, if we're doing a wine that's not the most expensive wine in the world, we want some redeeming quality in the wine. But most of the time, when we're drinking for pleasure, not on the show, we want some character to a wine. We want a reason to drink it again. And that maybe is the best answer I can give you that question. I want a reason to drink that wine again.
I want a wine, for me, I want a wine to be memorable in some fashion, in a positive sense.
Well, there's
the yes, I want some sort of aspect to stick out that makes me think about that again. If anything, I want it to have a decent nose. I don't know. When we're talking about aspects, whether it be, oh, I want it to have good fruit characteristics, or I want it to have a tannic backbone, or I want those things are a little more too specific. And in seriousness, it's more along the lines of, you know what? Is it something that I would want to buy again?
Yeah.
Does it have some sort of memorable characteristics?
Yes, and that's my answer too. It was, give me a reason to drink this again. But there's more to that. Now, when you take it to the next level, you know, you talked about something being memorable. Give me an emotional connection to this wine. Give me a reason where I physically respond to this wine. We talk about texture. We talk about mouthfeel. We talk about wines. I talk about wines transitioning or where they shift gears, where you've got this thing going along and then all of a sudden, bam, this characteristic just hits you in the fucking face.
Yes.
This
wine kind of does that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, this wine is interesting, and it gives me that physical response in that it's this compact thing. It goes from front palate, mid palate to the finish, and then all of a sudden there's this transition to this long freaking finish that you never think's going to end, and then boom, at the very end of it, that minerality pops back in. Just that. Hey, here you go. Here's some minerality.
Oh yeah,
right in the face.
Fine wine.
That's. How many ways can I say that I would drink this Creos Cab from Mendoza?
Again? You're going to buy this. I can say.
Fuck.
I know. If I wasn't broke, I would buy it too. Although I have so much stuff. I mean, I will. I mean, I'll talk to the Triple B, but get her CO approval. I think even for $11 bottle of wine, I'd probably need to tread lightly. But this is good. And she would like it. I would like it. $11. I mean, come on, guys. $11? Part of the reason why I put this on a second episode so we could drink it by ourselves, but also we've drank.
Motivation.
We have suffered through so many bad California wines that this is the same price as those, you know?
And it's so embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing that those wines exist.
Are so bad.
Yes, and this is so good.
I mean,
Santa Carolina is the same rough price too, but I think this is better than Santa Carolina. But
this isn't as big a wine.
But
as Santa
Carolina. The Santa Carolina is more of a teddy bear of a wine. This is a little more interesting. It isn't as big, but it's a little more complex, a little more interesting. By the way. We're doing the potpourri right now, but we're probably going to write in the review too. So.
This motherfucker's sexy. This is a sexy wine. This is.
It's British sexy, but you know,
brings my.
Is it a
charisma?
Is it like a manscaping video that you like?
Oh Jesus! No, this is ballroom dancing in South American style.
I don't know what that means, but
you don't watch Dances with Stars. Neither do I. But they did that. What's the
the tango? I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's go with the tango.
Let's just ignore everything you said a second ago and just let's go with the tango.
I don't know the name of the dance.
You know that's going to be a new phrase we use. Let's just go with the tango.
Let's just go with the tango. Just forget. I love that.
I don't know where I was going with this, but let's just go with the tango.
I love that phrase.
Yes. Becky
that's
won't know what
fantastic.
It is. Let's just go with the tango. Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
When she tells you can't do Wilford Wrong's voice,
Becky,
and you go,
let's just go with the tango.
Okay, I won't do it. I'll go, Becky,
Let's just go with the
Let's
tango.
Let's just go with the tango. Rob, do the Wolford Wall.
Yeah, let's just go with the tango. Actually, it's more along the lines of someone's like talking about how they were found a manscaping commercial homoerotic and they were getting a hard on. I would just say to that person, you know what? Let's just go to the tango. That's what I would say to that person that is having these feelings in the midlife crisis aspect. And they go, you know what? Am I really into my wife or am I into dudes? That's when I'd say, you know what, Scott? Not talking about you personally.
That would have been more effective.
Let's just go to the tango.
With the Anne the winemaker.
Wow, okay.
Would replace my Ina Garten fetish.
Well, whatever.
That would have been much more effective.
Scott, let's just go to the tango.
I was fucking appalled by that Manscaped video.
It sounded like you were really appalled by it. So, nevertheless.
Well, then you go... You referenced Down Under, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, the Manscaped video. God damn.
Yes, I know that's what you said. Yes.
Wines.
Okay, I thought you were talking about...
What do you want from them when you drink them? What do you want them to express? Sometimes...
Not Robert Bialy qualities.
Sometimes what you want is an emotional response from a wine. And sometimes that you're open to that, and sometimes you're waiting for that, but it still takes that special wine to deliver.
Whatever that means, yes.
What are some examples of emotional responses to wines?
I don't know.
That Turley night, that first Turley night for Deb and I.
Oh, well, that was different.
That was
a special night.
But, you know... That showed us what, when you look at wine from a more broad perspective and what a winemaker can bring to multiple different bottles mm-hmm. of the same varietal of wine. And that, for me, is always going to be linked from my love for Zinfandel. So I'm always going to have a little skosh room in my heart that's different than other varietals than Zinfandel, because that's the one that got me.
And you're welcome for that, since I'm the one.
That was freaking fantastic. But how about the food that night, too? And that was all part of it.
They did. I mean, they really went all out. Now, Jay Gilbert's for our little soiree did not. But, you know, whatever. Yeah, there's highs and lows, you know.
Yeah, we had an expectation. We were disappointed.
Here's a beef cutlet.
And the truth is, like that night, you know, we were similarly experiencing. They weren't all from the same winemaker, but like five of the six were.
They were. That was like, what do we have in our wine cellar too much of? Oh, okay, let's throw that on there.
The problem with that night was the food was so disappointing that. We couldn't really enjoy the wine.
Everything about what they did was disappointing. It wasn't us.
In retrospect, the wine was okay.
The wine was
we were disappointed. We expected more. But
you expect when you go to a wine dinner, there's going to be explanation. There's going to be discussion. There's going to be some sort of presentation. There was none of that. It was just, oh, let's have dinner that is much worse than what we normally serve. And it's cold. And we're going to provide you wines that we don't talk about and are of average quality.
Yeah.
That's what that was. And we got free drinks and free food afterwards because they felt bad about it.
They did feel bad for us. Yeah. So, but let's talk about some other emotional responses real quick. What's a wine that we've done on the show where you had an emotional response to? Just look at those French over there.
No. The Ridge Three Valleys, I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yeah. You know, some of our birthday wines, you've always made a point of...
The Poney Canet.
Pulling some special stuff out for
the
me.
The Poney Canet is one that... It touched me so much, I bought another one.
Well, you know, you touched yourself so much that you bought another one.
I did. It was like watching a manscaping video for you.
And I totally... got lucky, but I bought that bottle of Hidden Ridge.
Yeah.
That was a really good bottle of wine. We loved that bottle of wine, and it was kind of a celebration, so we were all open to having a good bottle of wine, and it was a next level bottle.
It was a next level bottle. I mean, but it's an ultra premium though. It's expensive. I don't even know where it is anymore. It's still around. You can't buy it.
But I mean,
it would be nice to someday revisit that one.
It's fantastic. Or honestly, anything from Hidden Ridge.
By the way, I've found out Shakespearean Phil is now involved in the marijuana industry somewhat, and he'll have to go to San Francisco occasionally. So I might join him as his paramour in a non-sexual manner.
What?
Whatever it takes. His carry-on luggage.
Paramour in a non-sexual manner.
Yes. Whatever it takes to go to San Francisco.
What does that mean? You're going
to
buff his toenails?
It means I'm going to fly to San Francisco and then go off to Napa while he's working.
He doesn't even like you that much.
No, he doesn't. But that's okay. He doesn't know. I'm going to still weigh in his bag. I'm just going to sneak into his suitcase.
Don't you touch his bag.
We talked
earlier about unsolicited touching of people. People don't want to be touched. Don't touch him.
Let me put my hands around your neck.
You want to touch his bag.
I would like to kiss you. Nobody wants to kiss you, Cuomo. No one. What the hell, man?
I think his brother does.
Oh, he might. But
his brother really likes the governor.
Well, it's his brother, but still, dude, why would anyone? She's 25, and you are an old bastard. 25-year-old women, just so you understand, don't want to kiss in public hot 25-year-old men. They just don't want to do that. They don't like doing that. It makes them feel uncomfortable. You are not a 25-year-old hot man. You're a 92-year-old man. Yeah. She certainly doesn't want to kiss you, for Christ's sake. She don't want to kiss anybody like that. Mm. It's like, why would she? I don't understand that. It's like, it doesn't make sense.
No, it does make sense. He's a fucking horrible human being.
I'm 66 years old, and I'm going to touch you. My name is Andrew. You want to kiss me? Do you want to kiss me? No.
It's a stereotype, but there's a word for it.
She doesn't want to kiss you.
The word is lech.
Yes, but it's like, I don't understand this. Okay, you are, in your mind, a powerful man. Whatever. That doesn't mean, this isn't the medieval times where you can walk out to a woman, call her a wench, and she goes, I will succumb to your advances, you dashing blade. No. You're just a douche. And you're a bad guy. It doesn't work. What? When did that work? When did it work? I don't know when it would work. And he's so much bigger than that poor girl. It's like, even if you weren't the governor, you look like fucking King Kong putting your arms around her. Yeah. It's like, obviously she's terrified of you because you're twice her size, you jack off. You know what? You've always been the governor. You've always been, like, well-known. A real man has never walked up and punched your fucking mutt ass in the face, and that's what they should have done. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Maybe that'll happen.
It's a little late now, but
an emotional response.
He deserved an emotional response, like a kick in the fucking nuts, dick. So, folks, we're going
to
take a break.
Somebody needs to Jack Reacher him.
Jeez. Oh, yeah, there you go. I've seen, like, the snippets of that. It's like, yep.
I've been reading his books.
It's like, man, that man needs a ball punching.
You know, it's not.
It's like, you know what, though?
The Jack Reacher stuff's not really realistic, but he's a bad motherfucker.
You know, his little brother, who's on CNN, he lifts weights. It's like, dude, you're swole. Straighten out your older fucking brother. You know?
I think he's too busy wanting to kiss him.
I guess, but it's like, all the dudes that are around him, it's not like it's a dude thing, but at the same time, it's like, fuck that guy. You've seen him act that way. It's not all right.
No, it's not all right.
You know what? A male, and this isn't like, oh, we need to save women. No, no, no. You just need to be a normal person and say, hey, fuck stick.
Yeah, hey, fuck stick. What you're doing is wrong.
I'm going to beat your fucking ass.
Yeah.
You know what? It's Neanderthal. But you know what? It used to work.
Well, you don't even need to say the beat your ass part. It's just like,
you just need to beat their ass.
Back off.
You know? You just need to beat somebody's ass. Somebody needs to get their ass kicked once in a while. And they're like, oh, wait a minute. I shouldn't put my hands on people that don't want me to. Nobody wants you to put their hands on them. But you know what? If you put your hands on somebody, then somebody needs to put their hands on you. How's that sound? And see how you like it.
Yeah.
And she can't do it because she's half your size. Well, you know what? Somebody in that room probably wasn't. And kick your fucking ass. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Rob the wine guy getting all violent.
Man, what a douche.
Threatening Como.
He's a douche.
With a beating.
No, I'm saying somebody should have beat him.
This is why I like
Lord. I think he could take me. I don't think it would work out too well for me. I'd kick him in the nuts and run away.
He's not a big guy.
I could probably take him, but that's not the point.
No, you're 25%.
I could take him.
This is why I like Letterkenny, because in Letterkenny, somebody would have grabbed me by the shoulder
and
punched him in the
face. In fairness, I have lots of experience fighting. That's against little kids, but I can win. And quite frankly,
you lost last time.
Well, that's because they cheated.
Your son shot you in the face with a Nerf gun. By definition, you're dead.
Theoretically, I still won.
No,
I also got punched right in the dick. And I said to Henry, why'd you do that? Because you stepped on my foot. I went,
that's a good, he's, you know, his response was reciprocal.
Man, that hurt.
The right height. Normally, it would be unwarranted, but he's 8, so he punched where he could land.
Well, no, he knew it. But
he knew it.
I had an appointment for a vasectomy. Well, not, I didn't have a vasectomy, but I had the
meeting. But it's no longer needed?
No. And so the doctor goes, you know, we can put you under full anesthesia. It's dangerous. It costs more, and it's dangerous. Or we could do something, whatever. Or we could just do local.
He goes, that's how it's done.
He goes, basically, it feels like he got punched in the nuts twice. And I got 3 young boys. I've been punched in the nuts plenty.
I don't know anybody who's had a vasectomy that did anything other than the local.
Let me go under full anesthesia. It's like, why would you
do
that?
But there's some great lines. I should have recorded this.
If you're that much of a pain, first of all, you guys get an IV for that shit. That hurts. If you don't like needles, it's like, what's the difference?
Most of the doctor's descriptions go along the lines of, you're going to feel a snipping sensation. It's not a sensation. They're snipping. It's not a sensation. They're actually being snipped. So yeah. Don't describe it as a sensation.
Did you have a vasectomy?
No. Oh, hell no.
Well, you ain't too much of a man for that, right?
Well, no. I just, you know.
Nobody wants to fuck you. So, folks, we're going to take a break. I'll be right back here
that
on the wine bowl.
That wasn't a problem.
It was, yeah. And we're back, folks. So the Susanna Balbo Krios, which represents her children.
Oh, Susanna, won't you Krios for me?
She has a son and a daughter that represents the Krios, which means in Spanish, children or kids. So we're going to go over to Scott to give this wine a review.
A special wine. You know, it's almost a cliche, but it's true. This is the kind of wine. This is why we do this show.
Well, you've said that 80 times, but yes.
80 right. Million times, yeah. But this is that wine once again.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have to spend a lot of money to drink a special wine.
No.
This is a special wine.
True.
Is it ageable? No.
No.
But this is fantastic, folks. where am I at on score? It has to start with a 9.
Mm.
It has to start with a 9. I'm going to go... I'm going to go 91.
91 of your points. Ooh, that's
and
bold.
That's the high end of the range. Yeah. 90 to 91, but it has to start with a 9. Mm-hmm. It's such a special wine. For me, why I scored a little higher on the unlicensed scale, it's got that physical response thing where it's this catch 22, this dichotomy, this ironical wine where it's compact, but it's long.
Yes.
Those things, one of those things just doesn't belong here. But the front palate to mid palate to the finish is really compact, but then that length of that finish is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Inside that, it's just short of being complex. It's near complex, but it's got a lot going on.
True.
The expression of minerality, that's also something I'm a sucker for, but it's also something of a, it's not a basic wine. When you're expressing minerality, that's not a basic wine. The length of the finish, the astringency, the little touch of acidity, the blackberry. I wanted it to be cherry, like a black sweet cherry, but it's really fresh, sweet blackberry, currant. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And then on to me, folks. This is a lovely drink. Though Scott said 90-91. I'm at a 90. 90 plus, though, just like Parker. So it's somewhere in that 90-91 range. Once again, it doesn't have ageability, doesn't have desirability in that fashion. So it's not going to get into the upper echelon. But it has lovely fruit. The nose, folks, as we said, it's a pretty floral nose. There's a lot going on here. And the best compliment I could say is, in a value-priced setting, or anything below $25, really, this is required drinking or required reading, however you want to consider it. If you haven't tried Susan Balbo's
Balbo, B-A-L-B-O,
Krios yet, you need to go out and acquire it immediately and drink it. And then, once you got done doing that, you need to drink it a second time. Now, after you drunk it a second time,
you'll probably be wasted.
And the most important thing is you need to send Rob the wine guy
the third bottle.
No. $50. Why? I don't know. But it seems like a good idea at the time. And you know what I'm going to do with that $50? I'm going to parlay it into Krios so I can drink it. So therefore, you and I have spent time together.
That's
because apparently that's important to you.
That's false. What he would likely do with that money
is put it towards the Audi repair.
Invest in Marvel characters.
I don't have Marvel characters.
He collects them, yes. I'm looking right behind me at a Thanos and a Thor.
And who bought those, Scott? You did.
Oh, of course I did.
And I don't have I don't even know where that is. But
he that's likely what he would do with that money. What so you don't did. Send him any money.
No, no.
Don't send him money.
Send me money, folks. Send me money. I need it. I'm a poor man. I drive an Audi, and that just makes me poor. That's okay, though. I'm still going to buy a Krios because Becky doesn't need to know. So
I'll buy some and give you a couple bottles.
You're so sweet. Look at you.
No, I'm not, but I'll still do it anyway.
You should, because this is fantastic.
It really is.
And by the way, to point this out, folks, this is a wine that I bought because
it was a good call.
Yeah, it was. It was one of those things where you're like $11.99 from Parker. Why not?
Well, you know, sometimes you look for the 92, the 93, the 94. You look for those scores, but what's wrong with a 90?
90's good.
Particularly when it's someone you value their judgment.
When
you read what they wrote about this, it made no fucking sense at all.
No, they were
What made sense?
They liked something else better.
You know,
you know what else is good?
Now when I think about it, you know where he's at? You know where he's living in? I don't know where, but he's doing a lot of mescaline.
Well, mescaline, man, that's the only way to fly.
That review sounded like he was on mescaline.
Mescaline is an underutilized psychotropic drug. And I suggest all of you, Krios, but also mescaline. It's fantastic.
And then right, there Scott? Was that other time, yes. And compared to the other dimension I was in, this wine exhibits, yeah, it was fucking nuts.
You can't get peyote, so you might as well just go with this. Have a spirit journey via mescaline.
Mushrooms.
So, that's right. So, folks.
Edibles.
A 90, a 91, and by the way, in case I didn't mention it.
Dude, I know somebody who has edibles that are 400 milligrams.
Okay, Steve.
No, those are Joey Diaz Death Star Beyond. Those are like quadruple Death Stars.
This is going to kill you is what that's going to
do.
Well,
they don't. They don't
kill you. I know they don't kill you, but you might as well be dead. So I've been there. Not 400 milligrams in, but I've been there plenty.
You do a nice voice when you're under the influence.
I wouldn't know.
Brownies?
For Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and Krios. But not the Triple B.
Susanna Balbo.
We're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Boat. Good night.